All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. We are getting started today. Just actually before we start, I just want to remind everyone, you know, Baruch Hashem, in the midst of all of our Daf Yomi learning, so we're also making, the Kehillah is also making a Siyum HaShas. There's part of the build up to the Siyum HaShas is something called Chavrei HaShas, where a Kehillah is encouraged to finish off entire Shas by splitting it off into multiple individual learning segments. We've sent out multiple emails. This particular Siyum is dedicated by the Venick, Erez, Fishbein, Pomerantz families in memory of Herman Venick, Zichron Livracha. It's an incredible opportunity. We're all learning the Daf, so Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of Torah we have to learn, but this is a beautiful additional opportunity for your learning. Another plug, it's a great opportunity for Night Seder. If you're looking to do something perhaps during Night Seder, you know, this is an extra additional limud. The Gemaras, so the family has dedicated a set of Shas that if you sign up for learning, the particular volume is yours. Those Gemaras are on that bookcase over there. They're labeled with pink stickers, but they're yours to take. So if you sign up for a Masechta, you could take the actual individual volume. You could also take off the sticker if you want. They were mistakenly labeled, but they're yours to take. So please, after Shir, decide what you want to learn. Take it and learn it. I would just ask that if you take it and learn it, please just go to the shul website and register your particular learning assignment. This way we could see that the different chalokim are taken. Or the truth is, you could just send me an email or a text message and I'm happy to register you for it online. But please, it's an incredible opportunity. We're going to, Emir Hashem, we're going to have a big simcha when we are Mesayim Shas together, which is going to be incredible. But the notion that our kehila as a kehila could also be Mesayim Shas is something that's really very special. And the truth is, it's a 20 blot commitment, which for any of us who are learning Daf, 20 blot commitment, it's like nothing. It's like 3 weeks, right? It's absolutely, that's no problem. So to be able to do 20 blot, this is not, remember, the Siyum is made at the same time that the Siyum HaShas is, so on January 1st. So really a couple of months, especially with all the Yomim Tovim coming, there's plenty of time. Everyone has time to take on a little bit of additional learning. Really, there's not one amongst us who doesn't have the time to do it. The Gemaras are here. Choose your assignment today, tomorrow. Register online. Email me. I'm happy to register you. And in addition to being Mesayim Shas ourselves, also a part of the Kehillah de Kassim, which is exceptionally beautiful as well. All right, Tabosa Vitad, let's begin. Today's Daf is Chaf Hey. Ashkach to Rabbi Yehuda for giving this shir yesterday. We are going to pick up Emir Tzashem. Three lines up from the bottom. Chav Dalet Amud Beis, 24b. Three lines up from the bottom at the two dots. Asham Vadai Eino Kain. So our shir this morning, our shirim this month, are dedicated by Bennett Goldberg. And Bennett Goldberg is a Talmud Torah sponsor in memory of his parents, Avram ben Asher Pinchas, Fega Rezel Bas Zelig, and in the hopes that all of the Sebebim Mishpacha have their tefillos answered over the Yamim Noraim. The Shir is also sponsored, Daf Yomi is sponsored this month by Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family, a Nechama. The truth is, I still have my note from last week about the Garden House's spotted swing breakfast. So, I don't know, I was going to say, if it's on the Stender, you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. All right, so we'll say with that, let's begin. So, also, we're picking up fascinating sugya today. Itmar, Egla Arufa, a Masai Ne'eseres. So, the Gemara says, at what point in time does Egla Arufa become us? So, remember, again, reorient ourselves a little bit. You find the corpse in between two cities. We don't know who murdered the individual. What's the halacha? The elders of the closest city bring a calf to Nachal Esan, to some type of dry riverbed. They decapitate the calf. They wash their hands over the calf. Yadenu lo shafchu dam zeh. Our hands did not spill this blood. That is the process of Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is mentioned in the context of Asham Talui, because just like Asham Talui is brought in a case of Safik, in a case of doubt, Egla Arufa kind of finds itself in similar circumstances. Because when is Egla Arufa brought? When there's doubt. What's the doubt? See, it's not as much doubt as much as it is ambiguity. We don't know who killed this particular individual. And so, again, we go ahead and we bring the Egla Arufa. So it says the Gemara, Egla Arufa imasai ne'asaras. At what point in time is Egla Rufa become Aser Banda? Rav Hamnuna Amar Mechaim. Rav Hamnuna says, already when the Egla is alive. So it sounds like Rav Hamnuna is saying, as soon as the Egla is designated as the Egla, right? As soon as we make a decision, this is going to be the Egla that is going to be brought down and decapitated, it automatically becomes Aser. Rava says, when does it become Aser? La'achar Arifa. After it is decapitated. So according to Rava, says after decapitation, it makes sense. Me'idno this avid be'maisa. So according to Rava, it makes sense. When does Egla become Aser? From the moment that a maisa was done, decapitation occurred. That's ultimately again when it becomes Aser. But according to Rav Hamnuna, how are you to understand that it becomes Aser even when it's still alive? Top of Chaf Hei. I'm Rav Yanai. Gvul shamati bav shachachti. So Rav Yanai says, you know, I once heard an explanation about this. Literally, I once heard about when Egla Arufa becomes Aser, but I forgot exactly when that occurs. Benasbin chavari lemeimar, and my friends helped me. Example, it's like an incredible mussar. You know, it is so good to have friends who talk about Torah as opposed to talk about other things, right? Because here Rav Yanai says, I forgot about what I learned, but Baruch Hashem, I have good chaverim. And so by having discussions with my chaverim, I remembered, Benasi chaverim lemeimar, yiridasa lenachal isan osartar. Now, it comes along Rav Yanai, and Rav Yanai actually brings up a different idea. Rav Yanai says that when does Egla Rufa become Aser? When it's led down to Nachal Esan, when it's led down to the dry riverbed. So both sides, this is different than Rava, certainly than Rava, because Rava is saying it doesn't become Aser until decapitation. And ultimately, again, even Rav Hamnuna says Mechayim. Now, interestingly enough, does Mechayim mean sometime earlier than Rav Yanai is saying, or perhaps it could be what Rav Yanai is saying, that Allah Chalam Aisa Mechayim means as soon as it's led down to the dry riverbed, even though it has not yet been decapitated, it is already Aser Bano. Rav Hamnuna. Mina Aminos. Rav Hamnuna says, how do I know that the Egla Rufa becomes Aser even before decapitation, even while it's still alive? Disnan, because we learned Hashochit Paraschatos v'shor haniska v'Egla Rufa. Supposed to listen to this fascinating case. This is talking about a situation of Osovi Espino. So you know the halacha is you're not allowed to shecht a mother and the child on the same day. So listen to this interesting case. What happens if you shecht? Remember, paras chatos is a para aduma. Shor haniskal is a shor that is going to be stoned because it killed someone. And egla arufa. Egla arufa is the decapitated calf. So we'll say, so imagine the following situation. Let's say halacha lemaisa, right? I shechted the child, right? The child of any one of these three animals. Either the child of a paraduma, child of a shor haniskal, or the child of an egla rufa. Or for that matter, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's the child of these animals or the mother of these animals. And now what happens? I then go and I shecht a paraduma, a shor haniskal, an egla rufa. So now am I in violation of osovi es bino or not? Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says you're Poter. Chachamim mechayiv, and the Chachamim say that you're chayiv. So watch this. So says Rav Hamnuna. Let's analyze this. Bishlama ledidi da'amina mechayim b'hapli yirab shirabana. So Rav Hamnuna says, now this braisa makes sense according to me. Let's focus on Egla Rufa for just a moment. So imagine the following situation. Imagine I shechted, let's keep it easy. I shechted the mother of the Egla Arufa. Okay, I shechted the mother of the Egla Arufa. Now what happens? I shecht the Egla Arufa. So the shaila now is, have I violated osovi espino lo sishchatu biyom echad? So the rabban, the chachamim will say you're chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says you're pater. Rav Hamnuna says this machlokis makes sense according to me. Why does it make sense according to me? Because remember again, Rav Hamnuna says what does he hold? He holds that halacha lamaisa that the egla arufa becomes aser mechayim. So according to me, it makes sense that the machlokis. Why? What are they arguing about? Reb Shimon Savar, Shchita She'ena Ra'uya Loshma Shchita. Reb Shimon says, we'll say, an inappropriate Shchita, right, is not called Shchita. So we'll say, what does it mean, inappropriate Shchita? Once you've identified, ultimately, the animal as the Egla Arufa, then what? It's Aser Bano. You can't do anything with it. If you can't do anything with it, that this is an inappropriate Shchita. Reb Shimon will say, Shchita She'ena Ra'uya is still Shma Shchita. It's still a proper Shchita, and therefore what? Halach Lamaisi, you are in violation of Osovi Espino. I'm sorry, I said that just the opposite. Reb Shimon Savar Shchita Shein Ruya Lo Shma Shchita. Reb Shimon who says that your pater holds that a Shchita that is not a halachically recognized Shchita is not called Shchita. Therefore, again, if you go ahead and you shechted the mother, and now you shecht the child who happens to be an egla arufa, that shechita of the egla arufa is not called a shechita, and therefore you're not in violation of osovi espino. For Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan will say no. Shechita she'ena ru'uya, shma shechita. I should say, they'll say yes, right? Which is what? That is even a non-halachically recognized shechita is still what? Is still called shechita. And therefore, what have you effectively done? You have effectively shechted a mother and its offspring on the same day, and therefore you are chayiv. Now, I will say, Rav Hamnuna says, this only makes sense according to me. Why? Because what do I hold? I hold that the egla rufa becomes aser when? Mechayim. Even before it's decapitated, even while it's still alive. So that it has the status of the egla rufa as soon as you designate it so. Then you could have this machlokas. Elei amrit la'achar arifa. But if you hold that the egla rufa really only becomes the egla rufa when after it's decapitated, amai pater Rabbi Shimon. Why would Rabbi Shimon pater you in the case of osovi espino? Shechita ru'uyehi. But say if you hold that the egla rufa only becomes an egla rufa when after decapitation. So if you shechted the mother and then you shechted the daughter, we'll call it the daughter egla rufa. Of course you should be chayiv. What's the shayla? It's not an egla rufa till after decapitation. Why would Rabbi Shimon hold that halacha l'maisa? You're potter. So again, Rav Hamnuna is saying, interestingly enough, Rav Hamnuna is gleaning his proof from this Mishnah. So Rav Hamnuna is saying the fact that there is a machlokes about whether or not you're in violation of osovi espino by the case of an egla arufa that shechted on the same day as its mother indicates to us what? That the egla arufa must attain its identity from the time that is designated. Because if an egla arufa didn't attain its identity until after it's decapitated, then halacha lemaisa, of course it's osovi espino, because it's not an egla arufa yet. You're shechting a mother and a child on the same day. What's the shayla? To which the Gemara says, "V'chi tema, maybe you'll say, Savar Rabbi Shimon Egla B'shechita K'sheira." So maybe there's a different something that's happening over here. Maybe Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, that even if you decapitate an Egla through Shechita, that is a proper process. Just so you understand, in general, we assume that decapitation takes place from where? From the back of the neck. As it, we'll see this in just a moment, as opposed to shechita, which ultimately takes place from, you know, what we'll call the simanim side of the neck. So now watch this. Maybe Rabbi Shimon holds that halacha lemaisa, egla arufa is kasher b'shechita. Maybe that's what he holds. And therefore, again, I'll say you can have this element of what? This element of simultaneity. Maybe even Rabbi Shimon will hold that the egla arufa only becomes an egla from the shas arifa, from the decapitation. But he holds that decapitation could be accomplished through shechita. But that can't be true. I'll tell you why. Vatnan, kasher bepara pasal be'egla rufa. That which is kasher by para, both in this case, para means what? Para aduma, right? Para aduma is pasal by egla rufa. Pasal bepara kasher be'egla rufa. That which is pasal by para aduma, ultimately, again, is kasher by egla rufa. How so? We'll say, what does this mean? Para b'shechita k'sheira. Barif psula. We'll say very important halacha. Para aduma is shechted. Para aduma gets shechita, so it's kasher b'shechita. But ultimately, again, it is possible by decapitation. Egla, when it comes to egla rufa, barif kasher, it's kasher with decapitation. But b'shechita psula. Ultimately, again, with shechita, it is possible. So ultimately, says the Gemara ishtik. He was quiet. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, Rav Hamnuna's raya does not seem to be all that great. The baser did nafek amar. So after he left, he said, "My time elo aminale. Why don't you answer the following? Rabbi Shimon Savar egla b'shechita k'sheira. Why don't you say that ultimately again that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that an egla arufa is kasher b'shechita?" Rav Hamnuna amar lecha. Rav Hamnuna would say to you, "Lo nishtamit tana deneshma inon egla b'shechita k'sheira tein Rabbi Shimoni." Rav Hamnuna said, "You can't say that. I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, we have no tana on record. We have no tana on record that holds that egla arufa is kasher b'shechita." In other words, we'll say we have no concept like that. There is no one that espoused that opinion anywhere on record that an egla arufa is kasher b'shechita. Fine. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, Rav Hamnuna's position itself is still, it's not exactly clear where he gets it from. So here's what we know. We know that Rav Hamnuna holds that the Egla Arufa becomes Asr Mechayim. It's not exactly clear where Rav Hamnuna ultimately gleans that particular where Rav Hamnuna gleans that shita from, because even the Mishnah that he quoted doesn't seem to be that Rabbi Shimon would hold that halacha lemaisa, the egla is kasher b'shchita. We have no such opinion like that, because it appears that egla arufa's dafka only done through decapitation, which again the Gemara Masechet Sota discusses extensively from the back of the neck, not from the front of the neck. Amar Rava. Rav says, Minah. So Rava says, where do I know my position? Remember, Rav is of the position that the Egla Rufa only becomes Asr when? Achar Arifa, after decapitation. That's when it becomes Asr. So Rav says, where do I get this from? Midisnah, I'll tell you where. Egla Rufa, Eino Kain, Achelo Nerfa, Teitiv Teres. Let's remember, go back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we just read on, that we just read on Friday, right? The new Mishnah on the Parak. What's what happened with Egla Rufa? If you designated the animals in Egla Rufa, then what? And then what? The murder, they discovered who the murderer was. They found who the murderer was. What's the halacha? If you did not yet decapitate, Achlo Nerfa, Teitzei V'tzira Be'eder. So what's the halacha? If they found the murderer before they decapitated the calf, what do you do with the calf? Set out to pasture. And as we said again, that's not a metaphor. That's literal. In other words, the calf is free to go. Free to go. What does that show you? The Amrit Mechayim, what that shows you, Rabbi Yossi, is what? When does Egla Rufa become an Egla Rufa? From the moment of decapitation. Because Rabbi says to Rav Hamnuna, if you are really right, that the Egla Rufa becomes Aser even while it's still alive, I might take Tzivitira Be'eder. It's Sra Mechayim. If you, Rav Hamnuna, are really correct, that the Egla Rufa becomes Aser while it's still alive, why should it be set out to pasture? It was already designated as an Egla Rufa and something else should happen to it. To which the Gemara says, Tani, Achlo Nires La Arifa. To which the Gemara says, Rav Hamnuna would say, the way you have to read the Mishnah is Achiniris La Arifa. What does that mean? Rashi says, Dilo Yarda Lenachal Eson. Rav Hamnuna both say, by the way, just so you understand, the way the Gemara is understanding things over here is that Rabbi Yanai is clarifying the position of Rav Hamnuna. When Rav Hamnuna says that the Egla Arufa becomes Aser Mechayim while it's still alive, what does while it's still alive means? From the time that it's taken down to the riverbed to be decapitated, even before it's decapitated, but from the time that it's taken down, halacha lemaaseh, it has a designation of Egla Arufa. So the way Rav Hamnuna would read the Mishnah is like this. If the murderer was discovered, ad shelo niras la'arifa, before the egla was determined ready to be decapitated, when is it determined ready to be decapitated? When it's taken down to Nachal Eisan. Say if the murderer is discovered before that time, inachinami, the calf, the egla rufa goes out, I should say the egla goes out to pasture, it goes out to be free. But inachinami, if already the egla was taken down to Nachal Eisan, then halacha lemaaseh becomes aser ba'ano. I aim was safe for 1 second. Look at the end of the Mishnah that says, Mishenerfa tikaber bimkoma. But the end of the Mishnah says that if it was decapitated and then the murderer was found, what do? We bury the Egla in its place. Shabbos say, it seems to be over there that only the Egla Rufa only becomes Aser when? From the moment that it's decapitated. Tani Mishenerus Larifa. Ultimately, again, you have to read it as, once it was deemed ready to be decapitated, once it was deemed ready to be decapitated, i.e. was brought down to Nachal Eson, even if the murderer was subsequently discovered, the Egla would still be Aser Ba'ano. Im Kein Eim HaSeifa Sha'ala Safik Ba Mitchila Kipra. I'm sorry. Im Kein Eim HaSeifa, if that's the case, when the Seifa says, Sha'ala Safik Ba Mitchila Kipra Sveika V'Halchala. So remember again, because the Mishnah itself says, Egla Rufa to begin with is only brought because of Safek. As long as at the time of decapitation, the Safek was still intact, even if the murderer was subsequently found, the Safek, meaning the Egla Rufa, served this purpose. V'imechayim. But if at the end of the day, the Egla Rufa becomes Aser, while it's still alive, Adayin lo kipra sveikasa. Ultimately, again, the Safek has still not been addressed, meaning if it's Aser while it's still alive, and we find the murderer, while the Egla is still alive, ultimately the Safek has not been addressed. to which the Gemara says Tanoihi. In reality, this entire thing is a machlokes Tanoim. This Sanyo, Nemar Machshu Mechaper Bifnim. So we've actually seen this concept before. The Torah discusses Machshir Umechaper Bifnim. Remember, again, there are two different types of karbonos we bring. So sometimes a karbon is a Machshir. Machshir means the type of karbon that allows one to enter into the Beis HaMikdash and partake of sacrificial items. Mechaper is the type of carbon that provides atonement. So there is a machshir u'mechaper bifnim, v'ne'emar machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. Rabbi said there are some carbonos that are machshir and mechaper and they're brought inside, and there are some carbonos that are machshir and the mechaper and they're brought outside. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Machshir bifnim, asha metzora. So I will say an example of a machshir, a carbon, that is a machshir that is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, that's the asham and a metzora. What's a mechaper bifnim? Chataos v'ashamos. On the flip side, machshir bachutz was an example of a machshir bachutz, a carbon which allows you to enter in to the Beis HaMikdash and partake of sacrificial items that is brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, tzipori metzora. And mechaper bachutz, seira mishtaleach ve'egla arufa. So watch this. Says the Gemara, ma machshir mechaper amar bifnim, aso bo machshir ki mechaper, ma machshir mechaper amar bifnim. So we'll say, just like the machshir mechaper that are brought inside of the Beis HaMikdash, aso bo machshir ki mechaper, the machshir is just like the mechaper of machshir, Umechaper Amar Bachutz, Asa Machshir Ki Mechaper. So Tzabo said the Machshir and Mechaper that it's brought on the outside, we make the Machshir like the Mechaper. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ma Machshir Amar Bifnim Asa Ba Machshir Asha Metzora Ki Mechaper Ki Shar Chatoz Vashamos. Tzabo said just like the Machshir that is brought on the inside, ultimately, we make the machshir like the mechaper. So, for example, an asham mitzora is treated like other chataos and ashamos that are brought bifnim. Af machshir ham umechaper ha'amar b'chutz. Just like the machshir and mechaper that are brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, asa bo machshir ki mechaper. The machshir, tzipori mitzora, that are asar ba'ano, even while they're still alive, are made like a mechaper, are treated like the mechaper, which is what? Sira mishtaleach ve'egla rufa. So according to this version, the Egla Arufa is treated like the Tzipori Mitzora. Just like Tzipori Mitzora ultimately Asr Mechaim, so to Egla Arufa will be Asr Mechaim as well. So according to this Limud, you have a Tana who holds that Egla Arufa is Asr while it is still alive. Still alive means what? Means what from when? Brought down to Nachal Eisen. Sabosai, effectively, we have a machlokes tanoim. There is an opinion that holds that Egla Rufa is only going to be usher once it is decapitated. And then we have an opinion that ultimately, again, equates machshir, when it comes to the machshir, umechaper bachutz, asabom machshir ki mechaper. That ultimately, again, a machshir is like a mechaper. So we'll say, just like we will compare the mechaper of Egla Arufa to the machshir, ultimately, again, of Tzipori Mitzora. Just like, ultimately, again, the Tzipori Mitzora Asr Mechaim, so to Egla Arufa will be Asr Mechaim as well. So effectively, Imachlok Yestan. We'll say, how do we paskin? When does Egla Arufa effectively become Asr Bana? So the Rambam in Hilchos wrote Seach. This is in Perek Yud Halacha Vav, writes as follows. Egla Arufa Asr Bania v'nikper samakam arifasa. So also, first of all, Egla Arufa is Asr Bana. Now this is talking about Asr Bana after, well, Asr Bana, and after you decapitate it, what do you do with the body of the Egla? You bury it in its place. So that's the Halacha. When does it become Asr Bana? U'mishetered l'nachal te Asr Bana. So we'll say the halacha is, as soon as the Egla is brought down to the Nachal Eisan, it becomes Asr Bana, Afapi Sha'adayin lo Nerva. That's what I'm asking. It's like Rav Hanuna. Rav Hanuna, as explained by Rabbi Yanai, that once the Egla is brought down to the Nachal Eisan, even though it's still alive, it still becomes Asr Bana. V'meisa o nishchata achar yiridasa, Harezu Asura Bani Abit Kavr. So both say, so the Rambam in the next sif talks about how do you do an Egla Rufa? Not with Shechita. Not with Shechita. In fact, if you shachted an Egla Rufa, it's not good. It must be decapitated from the back of the neck. But if for some reason the Egla, let's say, both say you take the Egla down to the Nachal Eisan, and the Egla has a heart attack and dies, right? Or the eglo is accidentally shechted. What's the halacha? It's asr ba'ana, because again, remember, the isr hana status devolves upon it when? Already once it's brought down, once it's brought down to Nachal Eson, but ultimately, again, it's still buried in place. Halacha la'maaseh, Rama Baskin is like Rav Hamnuna, as explained by Rav Yanai, namely, again, the egla rufa becomes asr ba'ana from the moment that it's brought down to Nachal Eson. Good, that's halacha, Rav Osei. Right, says the Mishnah. Rav Elazar, Rav Osei, an incredible, incredible Mishnah. We've referenced it many, many times. Now we're actually going to see it inside. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Misnadev Adam Asham Tale B'chol Yom B'chol Isha Yirtza. Rabbi Eliezer says, a person can bring in Asham Talei whenever he wants. Whenever he wants, right? Any day, anytime he wants. Hu Haya Nikra Asham Chasidim. Rabbi Eliezer says, this used to be called the Asham of the pious ones. What's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? The logic is a very simple one, which is pretty much there's a pretty good chance that at any time on any given day you've done something that requires an Asham Talui. It's a little bit of a sobering statement on the human condition, right? But Lamaisa, true. Right? Chances are at any point in time you've done something that warrants an Asham Talui.
Like bringing
flowers home. I'm sorry, like bringing flowers home. Excellent, right? Like bringing flowers, right? Beautiful. We'll say this year is like one-stop shopping. You get shalom bayis, cinnamon buns, and a black gemara. Right? Everything. Right? Like bringing home flowers. Chances are you've done something that warrants bringing home flowers. Well said. Well said. I'm not going to put on the recording who made that suggestion, but you'll tell from the accent. Right? We'll say, so again. So says the gemara. So Elaza says, Vipashtas, you can bring an Asham Taloi home. You can bring Asham Taloi home. Right? You can bring an Asham Taloi at any given day, and this is called Asham Chasidim. This is called the Asham of the pious ones. So says the Gemara, Amra Lava Bava Ben Buta, Shai Misandiv Asham Taloi B'chol Yom. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Rabbi the Ezra is speaking in the theoretical. Right? In the theoretical, he says that a person could be Misnadev and Asham Taloi on every single day and any time he wants. Now the Gemara says, Bava ben Buta used to actually do this, right? He would bring in Asham Taloi every day, this incredible chutz, me'acha yom kippurim yom echad. Rebbe said there was one day out of the year that Bava ben Buta didn't bring in Asham Taloi, which is when? The day after Yom Kippur. Now we'll see why that is in just a moment. Obviously Yom Kippur himself, he also didn't bring in Asham Taloi, but then we'll say, and obviously again, on Yomim Tovim, Shabbosos, obviously you're not bringing in Asham Taloi. That's obvious. But interestingly enough, even Bava ben Buta felt that on the day after Yom Kippur, there wasn't the need for an Asham Talui. Amar Bava ben Buta said, Hamona ze, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, Ilu hayu manichin osi, hayisi mevi. So Bava ben Buta said, the truth is, I would even bring an Asham Talui on the day after Yom Kippur. I would even bring one. Ava omrim li hamtinli, acheti karnes le Beis HaSafek. But the rabbis, right, the rabbis told me, Bava ben Buta, come on, right, give it a break. At least, meaning there has to be the possibility that you did something wrong. So we'll see why the day after Yom Kippur was a little bit different. The Chum say we disagree. Ain maybe Asham Taloi, Ela Al Shazadon Akarz Shegosachatos. Chum say natru, Chum say, so we'll say, as we're going to see, Rabbi Eliezer, Bava ben Buta, have a fundamentally different conception of Asham Taloi. This is not just, meaning the novelty over here is not just that they're allowing you to bring it every single day. The novelty, as we're going to see, is what they allow an Asham Taloi to be brought for. That's really going to be the fundamental issue. Chachamim say you can only bring Asham Taloi on what? On something where if you did it intentionally, it would be a chi of karis, and unintentionally, ultimately, chatos. And Asham Taloi is brought because you may have violated something. So we'll say, interesting sugya now. If you are definitely chayiv chatos or an asham, so for example, Rabbi say, I know I definitely ate chaylev. I definitely ate chaylev. But what happens? I didn't get a chance to bring my asham right before Yom Kippur, my chatos before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur came. Yom Kippur does not absolve me of my response, of my karbonic responsibility. So even after Yom Kippur, I still have to bring my karbon. However, the Gemara says, the chayiv ashamos teluyin peturin. We'll say, what does Yom Kippur do? This is quite amazing. So we're going to see, Yom Kippur does not wipe out bona fide karbonic liability. What Yom Kippur does wipe out, I read the word, what Yom Kippur does absolve is like an asham talui. So we'll say, if you have an asham talui hanging over you and Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur wipes out, absolves you of that asham talui liability. If somebody did a safek avera on Yom Kippur itself, even if it's towards the evening, ultimately pater. Yom Kippur, we saw this before, Yom Kippur itself wipes out possible liability. Ultimately, as Yom Kippur itself, the entire day is mechaper. Ha'isha sheyesha lachata sa'of, safek, vavar Yom Kippur, chayeves lahavi lach Yom Kippur. So listen to this. What if a woman who gave birth, and she's not sure if the birth was a halachically valid birth? So we saw this before. When miscarries something, she's not sure ultimately, again, what she miscarried. Is there tumas leida, not tumas leida? So what's the halacha? Even after Yom Kippur, she still has to bring her chatas off. Why? Because we'll say, ultimately, again, here's what's interesting. Because remember, her obligation of chatas of Rabosa is for what purpose? Is a machshir, not a mechaper. It's something that allows her to come into the Beis HaMikdash and consume sacrificial items. Yom Kippur only wipes out what? Only wipes out safek mechaprim. Benat safek mechashrim, not mechashrim, machshirim. Thank you. So the Gemara says, I'm going to review this in just a moment. Chatas of obayim asafek. If you have to bring a chatas of al safek, again, we'll define the parameters of this case. Imishenim leka noda. They will say, what happens? So this is a classic case of a woman, right, who goes ahead and miscarried something. She's not sure if what she miscarried is a bona fide leida or not. So she's bringing a chata sa'of misafek. What happens if they did malika on the bird and then it's discovered that in fact that's what? She didn't miscarry something that was a bona fide birth, so she wasn't chayeves tikaver. We bury the bird. So we have in this Mishnah is two dramatic ideas. Number one is a fundamental machlokes about the nature of Asham Talui. Rabbi Eliezer is saying there's a concept called Asham Chasidim, which is what? Bringing Asham Talui every single day of the year. Minus Shabbos Yom Tov. With the exception of what? Day after Yom Kippur. Bava Ben Buta, I would even bring an Asham Talui day after Yom Kippur, but the rabbis don't let me. Chachamim, we fundamentally disagree with this concept. There's no such thing as an Asham Chasidim. The only time you bring an Asham Talui is if you violated something, or I should say it differently, you potentially violated something, that if you did it intentionally, it would be a Chiyav Karis, unintentionally Chiyav Chatos. That's it. That's the only case of Asham Talui. There's no Asham Chasidim. So we'll say that's my focus number one. Concept number two is the power of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, apparently, Yom Kippur does not wipe out karbonic liability. So if you had a bona fide obligation for a chatas or an asham before Yom Kippur, and then there was Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur what? You still have to bring it. What does Yom Kippur wipe out? What does Asham Talui. But, if I say even Yom Kippur, lest you think that Yom Kippur wipes out every safek karbon, that's not true. Yom Kippur only wipes out type Asham Talui. Why? Because it's a mechaper. So absolves the individual of any liability for a safek karbon that is brought for kapara purposes. But if you have a safek karbon that is not brought for kapara purposes, rather for what? For what we'll call hechsher purposes, which is, I will say, a safek karbon that's not brought for sin, but is brought, why? To ultimately, again, for status purposes, to allow me to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, to allow me to partake of karbanos. Yom Kippur does not wipe that out. Even after Yom Kippur, you would have to bring that. Beautiful. My time with Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, what's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Because remember, again, Rabbi Eliezer's concept is really quite amazing, that you could bring an Asham Talui every single day. Every single day. And Rabbi says, we're going to see, if you could bring it for every single day, it sounds like, what can you bring it for? Sounds like kind of for anything. And we're going to see that clarified in just a moment. What's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? To which the Gemara says, my time, Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Misyadi le amai maisi chatos. So we'll say, if you want to understand that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Eliezer says that any time that you have a suffix, there's an obligation to bring a carbon. If that's the case, then even if it becomes known that in fact I did sin, why should you have to bring a chatas? You already brought your asham talui. Elishma mina nedavihi. Rather, really, in Rabbi Eliezer's model, an asham talui is a nedava. Shabbat said, when it comes to nedava, you can bring a nedava anytime you want. Just like you can bring a carbon nedava whenever you want, then what? You can bring an asham talui whenever you want. So the Gemara says, v'rabanan ola ushlamim hu da'asu b'nedar nedava. So Rabbanan say it's only an olin ashlamim that can be brought as an eder and a dava. Chatas and asham are obligatory offerings, and therefore could only be brought when warranted. V'asham talui haynu taima de maisim mikamei de misyadale lahagin alav da torah chasa al gufan shaisa. So we'll say, listen to this. See, here is the fundamental machlokes. What family does asham talui belong to? Rabbi Eliezer holds that asham talui belongs to the Nadava family. Right? Vaharaya. You can bring it even without definitive guilt. So by definition, it must be part of the Nadava family. If it's part of the Nadava family, then what? Bring whenever you want. Chamse, it is not part of the Nadava family. It is part of what? The Chatas and the Asham family. And you can only bring a Chatas and Asham when it is warranted. But one second. Asham Talui is Safek. So if it's part of the Chatas and Asham family, how can you bring in even al Safek? So I'll say, herein lies the novelty of Asham Talui. Then remember again, Asham Talui, I'll say, is what kind of carbon? Asham Talui is an umbrella. It's a shield. Right? I may have done something wrong. So therefore, again, there is a carbon that is there to shield me from punishment. That's called Asham Talui. Is it a definitive carbon? No, Vaharaya, if it's determined later on that in fact I definitely did do something wrong, what do I have to do? I have to bring a chatas or an asham. So I will say, again, it's there to protect me. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves me. He wants me to be afforded carbonic protection. He allows me to bring this asham taloi. But I will say, it is not a nedava. It is a derivative of, or it is a chelik of the chatas and asham family. Therefore, you can only bring it when your infraction falls into the chatas and asham family. But Lamai suggests to stop bringing it, you cannot do that. So maybe asham tali is like an olon shlamim. Ma olon shlam da asu b'chova v'asu b'nedava. Asham talui nami da asi b'chova asi nami b'nedava. Again, how do you know? Maybe asham talui is in the olon shlamim family. Just like olon shlamim could be brought obligatory or as a nedava, so to asham talui. Amrlei ola ushlamim ikar b'nedava ksivi. Remember, olin shlamim rabbo say, they're written in the context of nedava. So asham talui ikar bechovaksiv. Asham talui itself is mentioned in the Torah in the context of obligatory offerings. So rabbo say, so you see that asham talui rabbo say is really linked to chatas and asham. So when there would be a definitive liability for chatas and asham, when there would be an obligation for chatas and asham, if I definitively did something, that's when you bring an asham talui, because perhaps I did it. But asham talui does not apply in any situation of nedava. Tani Rabbi Chiya kamed rava, amadeis, asham talui ba'ana anavela. So we'll say, wow, watch this. Now, this totally blows the conversation open. So you have Rabbi Chiya teaching the following statement before rava, that asham talui can even be brought for nevela. Then I will say, what's nevela? Look at Rashi, tap Rashi on the top ball, nevela, kilomar, al safek iser lav. We'll say, remember, nevela, consumption of nevela is a lav. You now have a statement being made that you could bring an asham talui even for what? The possible violation of a lav. Wow. So I will say, up until now, remember again, in the Rabbana, in the Chachamim's model, when do you bring an asham talui? When do you bring an asham talui? For the type of infraction that if you did it intentionally, what would be the halacha? Kares, unintentionally, chatas, potential violation, asham talui. That's how it works in the Chachamim's construct. Now comes along Rabbi Chiya and says, oh, even if you potentially violated a lav, if you potentially ate it nevela, you can bring in asham talui. Amarle, but one second, he said to him, v'hanan taba, we learned in the Mishnah, the Chachamim Omrim Eino Mevi Asham Talui Ela Al Davar Shezadono Kares V'Shiga Gasel Chatas. But the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that's not true. You only begin Asham Talui for something that is severe enough that if you did it intentionally, you would be Chayiv. kares unintentionally chayva a chayva chatos. Vi Rabbi Eliezer binadavi nami asi. So, and if it's Rabbi Eliezer, so we'll say the truth is Rabbi Eliezer even holds that even without a potential violation of a lav, you could bring an asham talui. Why? Just because you feel like it, right? Because you're in that asham talui mood, right? You want to bring it as an adava, go right ahead. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Amarle, my taima lo masnis zimnin sagin. Because this is Amarle, she said to him, my taima lo masnis. Why did you not pay attention to shir? Right? In other words, why did you not pay greater attention when we learned this? Rashi says, lama lo lamarata kame diraba ba'isio de akamoni. Why didn't you pay greater attention? Rabbi taught this to us, you would know this like me. Zimnin sagin tanise kame mar. We, many, many times we learned this again before. Mar, who is Mar? Umanu Rabba. And Rabba said, Va'amarli, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer. He. The Rabba said, who is the opinion who says that you could even bring an Asham Taloi for an Avela? That's Rabbi Eliezer. Or there's not a new opinion being introduced here. The opinion who says that you could bring an Asham Taloi even for just eating, passively eating the Avela, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Da'amrlo, this nan, Ela Omrim lo, Hamtin Achet Tikanas Labeis HaSafek. So I will say, remember, even in Rabbi Eliezer's model, Rabbi Eliezer actually wants to put forward that when can you bring in Asham Taloi? According to Eliezer, when can you bring Asham Taloi? When? Anytime you want. Do you need grounds to bring it? No. In Rabbi Eliezer's pure model, you don't even need grounds. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer's logic will say, chances are you did something. You did something. They counter back to Rabbi Eliezer, even in your model, there has to be grounds. You have to at least have done something. Even if the something is relatively minimal, like what? Eating nevela, which is only a lav. So in fact, what's coming out over here is as follows. Even Rabbi Eliezer, who in his purest model wanted to suggest that you could go ahead and bring in Asham Talui, for what? Just because chances are you did something. We push back on Rabbi Eliezer and say, listen, Rabbi Eliezer, even you can't sanction that. There has to be at least some type of potential infraction that occurred. Even if the infraction is only a lav, like consuming the leila, even that, halacha lemaisa, you still have to say something occurred. Amar Rava. So now, just so you understand what's happening over here, we have this fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, now there's kind of like two versions of Rabbi Eliezer. There's Rabbi Eliezer, there's pure Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you can bring an Asham Talui anytime you want. He calls it Asham Chasidim. Then there's the modified version of Rabbi Eliezer that says that what? You at least need grounds, right? And your grounds can be very minimal. Like, you violated a law. You possibly violated a law, right? Maybe I ate Nevela. Chabosai is punishable by what? If you ate Nevela? Malchus, it's a law. It's a law. So then, that's Rabbi Eliezer's contract. Chum say no. Asham Tali comes in a very specific circumstance for that where you potentially, maybe, right, that's a suffix, that you violated the type of infraction, or if you did it intentionally, kares, unintentionally, chatos, if there's a suffix, that's when you bring Asham Taloi. So the Gemara goes right to Amarava, my time, do Amrulo. So we'll say ultimately again, right, my time, do Amrulo, Amarkra, Ashalo Siasena. So we'll say, Rava says, where do we get that in Rabbi Eliezer's model, there has to be at least the potential that you violated a lav, or it's at least a suffix lav? Where do we get that from? So the Gemara says, Asher lo se'asena ve'ashem. Because they both say, interestingly enough, the Pasuk by Asham Talu, he says, Va'asasa achas mikomitzos Hashem asher lo te'asena belo yada ve'ashem. So we'll say, if you want to be a literalist, Asher lo se'asena could refer to what? Although it's not saying. So at least you have to agree that there has to be the potential violation of a lo sasei for Asham Tali, right? You can't just bring Asham Tali for nothing. There has to be at least a suffix that you violated a lo sasei. So the Gemara says, Va'amarava, my time is Rabbanon, Dharmi ein mevin Asham Tali, ela advar shazdana kar shigasa chatos. And where did the Rabbanon get their shita that you only bring an Asham Tali for something that if done intentionally is kares, unintentionally is a chatos? They say like this, Yalfi mitzvos mechatas chelev. both say they make a gzira shava mitzos mitzos. It says mitzos by Hashem Talui and mitzos ultimately again by chatas blood for chelev consumption. Malahalon, just like by chatas chelev shezadono karis shigaso chatas. So both say by chelev, if you intentionally eat chelev, you chayv karis. Unintentionally do so, it's chatas. And therefore, again, if you're not sure, it's a safek, you bring an Hashem Talui. Afkan, Dover Shezadono Karis Shigasa Chatos. So to Rabbi Osai, for the Rabbanan's construct of Hashem Talui, it is for something that if done intentionally is Chayiv Karis, unintentionally, ultimately, again, unintentionally, Chayiv Chatos. So Rabbi Osai, so Aloch Lamaisa, it's amazing, right? It's pretty amazing. Fundamental Aloch Loksin Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim ultimately comes down to how they dash in the Pasuk. In Rabbi Eliezer's model, he says, in the Pasuk Hashem Talui, what does it say? Asher lo te'asena. Shiloh Te'asena, this is the modified version of Rabbi Eliezer. So in the modified version of Eliezer, for Hashem Talui, what do you need? What do you need? At least a Safik what? Safik what? Safik Lav. Safik Lav, even a Safik Lav, Hashem Talui. And I will say, now again, you just have to remember, never forget the purity of Rabbi Eliezer Shita. That's not really what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Really what Rabbi Eliezer holds is what? Is what? Anytime. Anytime. Anytime, even if I don't know of anything particular that I did. This is the modified version. This is the toned down version of Rabbi Eliezer. Chamsei, Gzereshava mitzos mitzos from chatos chelev, just like chelev, iser kares chatos, so to Hashem Talui, brought for something that is kares chatos. Good. Tan Rabbanon, chamisha ashamos mechaprin. So I say there are five types of ashamos. Five types of ashamos that ultimately again bring up. Rashi quotes them. It's Hashem gzelos meilos shifcha harufa nazir mitzora. Hashem Talui eno mechaper kapara gemura. So I say under normal circumstances, an asham, when brought, affects complete atonement. Asham talui, the first wide line of Chaf Hayam and Aleph, does not affect complete atonement. So my kamar, what does this mean? Am Rav Yosef Hachi kamar, chamisha ashamos mechaprin kapara gimura, v'asham talui in mechaper kapara gimura. But saying asham talui does not affect complete atonement. So both say, so the truth is, this is not a chiddush. Rashi says, look at the last of the wide lines on top of Rashi. So we know this, because what happens when let's say a simple case, two pieces of meat. I ate one of them. It turns out that one of them was chelev. I don't know which one is which. So what's the halacha? What do I bring? Hashem Talui. What happens if it turns out that halacha l'maisa? It turns out I did eat chelev. You bring a chatos. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, "In mechaper kapar gemur de lo krabar lozer Eliezer de amar." Asham Talui Bala Navela. So both this is not like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Halacha Lamaisa, you could even bring Asham Talui when on a case on the Vela. And Rabbi said, this is amazing. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows, that Rabbi Eliezer's model yields a chumrah, well, it yields an interesting reality, which is, Rabbi Eliezer says that you could bring an Asham Talui for anything, even for a lav. And what the Gemara is suggesting is, what this teaches us is that in Rabbi Eliezer's model, in fact, Asham Talui is a mechaper. It is a mechaper. So both say, Eliezer holds, there's a fundamental nafkamino over here, so I just want to point out something amazing. Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you can bring an Asham Talui for anything, even a lav, holds that once you bring an Asham Talui, then what? You have satisfied your karbonic liability. So in the case, for example, of two pieces of meat, even if it turns out, I bring an Asham Talui because I may have eaten chelev, it turns out I find out later on, forensics came back, I definitely consumed chelev. Chamim will say you have to bring a chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says, you're good, amazing. Ravina Amar Hachi Katani, Chamisha Hashamos, Ein Acher Mechaper, Kaparasan, Dichim Yisyadalei, Maisi Asham Talui, So we'll say, now watch this, says the Gemara. Ravina says, this is what it means to say, that there are five Ashamos, that in Acher Mechaper Kabarasan, that ultimately, again, there is no need for any further kapara once they are brought. Lo maisi kidestan. Rabbi say, let's clarify this. Chayvi chatos va'ashamos va'doin sha'avar alein yom kippur. So now, just to clarify, what we're talking about over here. The Ravina wants to say as follows: Chamisha ashamos ein acher mechaper kabarasan. So both say the acher over here, as we're going to see, is yom kippur. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi in the short lines, four lines in. Ein afer mechaper chaparaso shema'al b'shogeg v'lo yada v'avar alav yom kippurim v'achar kach noda lo mevi asham mi'ilos v'chein kulan. So we'll say, so there are five ashamos. Ein acher mechaper kaparaso. The acher, which is Yom Kippur, does not affect their kapara. Dechimisyada maisi asham. Maisi. Because ultimately, maisi asham taloi. So my asham taloi acher mechaper kaparaso. So both says, we're going to see there are different types of kapara. This is what the Mishnah was saying. So there are some, I will say, there are some averus where ultimately, again, Yom Kippur does not wipe out the liability. As opposed to Asham Talui, where what? Acher Mechaper Kaparaso. That Yom Kippur will wipe out the liability. Let's see this in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Kidisnan, Chayvi Chatoz Vashamos Vadoin, Shavar Len Yom Kippur, Chayovin Lahavi Acher Yom Kippur. So we'll say the halacha is, if you are Chayvi Chatos or an Asham, right? For definitive infraction, definitive violation. Even if Yom Kippur passed and you did not yet bring the karban, Yom Kippur does not wipe out definitive karbanic liability. On the flip side, ashamos tuluyin peturin. Ultimately, again, when it comes to Yom Kippur, I will say Yom Kippur wipes out asham talui liability. So I will say this is actually quite dramatic. So halacha lemaisa, again, if for some reason I have a karbanic liability, a simple case, I know I ate chalev, I know I was mechal Shabbos, I know I violated whatever it is. So and I have karbanic liability. Yom Kippur comes. Yom Kippur does not wipe out definitive karbanic liability. But if I have an asham talui hanging over me and I did not bring it before Yom Kippur wipes out Asham Talui liability. Quite amazing. Chai v'chatoz v'ashamos v'adoin. So it says the Gemara, Katoni, chai v'chatoz v'ashamos v'adoin, sh'avar alin Yom Kippurim, chayovin lahavi la'achar Yom Kippur. So we'll say, right, the halacha is, that as we just said before, if I have definitive karbanic liability, Yom Kippur does not wipe out that liability. I still have to bring the karban after Yom Kippur. Chai v'ashamos tuluyin, peturin. But I will say, what's the halacha? If I am chayvin asham talui and Yom Kippur comes, what is the halacha? Yom Kippur wipes out the liability. But Hani Mili, where do you know that from? How do you know that Yom Kippur wipes out asham talui liability? Kiyos Rav Dimi, Am Rav Ami, Am Rav Chanina, Am Rekra, V'chiper ala kodesh, mitum os b'nei Yisrael, umi pishihem l'chol chatasam. So watch this. Chatoim dumya dipshon. So we'll say, so a chait is like a pesha. Mapshaim delo dela b'nei karban. So we'll say, so in general, a pesha is not subject to a karban. Why is a pesha not subject to a karban? Pesha usually refers to what? Bemezid. Right? Intentional averus. So we'll say, anytime you do an avera intentionally, there is no karbanic liability. So mapshaim delo delav karban, af chatoim delav b'nei karban mechaper. So to chatoim that are not subject to a karban, Yom Kippur is also mechaper. Aval chatoim b'nei karban lo mechaper. But chatoim that ultimately again are subject to karban are not mechaper. So we'll say now, watch this. What the drasha means like this: that ultimately the pasuk is equating chatoim with pshayim. So Yom Kippur is ultimately again mechaper chatoim that are like pshayim. Just like what does that mean? What's a chit that's like a pesha? Just like a pesha doesn't have karbanic liability. So too, again, Yom Kippur is mechaper for a chait that doesn't have karbanic liability. What's an example of a chait that doesn't have karbanic liability? Asham talui. Right, so both say, so as opposed to a chait that does have definitive karban liability, which is, for example, what? If you have a definitive chatas or an asham liability, that Yom Kippur will not take care of. But if you have a chait that does not have definitive karbanic liability, like what? Like an asham talui, Yom Kippur will wipe that out. I'm going to lay a baye. One second. This pasuk Rabosai is talking about the seir. Remember again, there are two seirim. One is that is sent la'azazel off the cliff, and one is that is offered up la'Hashem. This karban is talking about the seir that is offered up inside. Who dichsev delo mechaper ala veros de mitzvah yodua. Ultimately, again, this seir Rabosai is not mechaper for what? It is not mechaper for what we call a mitzvah yodua. Both say this seir is not mechaper for things that I know that I did wrong, where I have to do a separate shuba for. Avasya mishtaleach de mechaper ala beros de mitzvah yadua, but the seir mishtaleach that is mechaper even for known sins Maybe it's only the seer bifnim that is not mechaper for definitive karbanic liability, but the seer mishtaleach will be mechaper even for karbanos which have even for aviros which have defined karbanic liability. Rather, Abai says like this. So I just want to point something out. Remember, this point was not disputed in the Mishnah. So it sounds like everybody agrees with this point, which is Yom Kippur is mechaper for what? Asham talui liability. But if you have definitive karbanic liability, Yom Kippur is not mechaper for that. You still have to bring your karban after Yom Kippur. So what we're trying to find is the source for that halacha. So Amar Abai mehacha. Abai puts forward a different source. V'hisvada alav eskala bonos b'nei Yisrael v'eskol pishim l'chol chatasam. The pasuk says, he will confess upon it. He will confess upon it. This is on the head of the sayer. He will confess upon it. Kala bonos b'nei Yisrael v'eskol pishim l'chol chatasam. Chatoim dumyat pshaim. So the Torah is equating chatoim to pshaim. Ma pshaim d'la b'nei karban. Just like I will say, pesha is not subject to a karban. Af chatoim delav b'nei karban. So to Yom Kippur is mechaper for any type of chatoim that doesn't have definitive karbanic liability. Aval chatoim de b'nei karbaninu, but chatoim which have definitive karbanic liability, lo mechaper. To that, Yom Kippur does not take care of. You have to bring your own karban sometime after Yom Kippur. Umiyate kro b'sir mishtaleach. And ultimately, again, the pasuk is making a mute. Ultimately, where? Basiyam Mishtalech. Look at Rashi. Umiyate Kras. Rashi almost right across. Umiyate Kras. Basiyam Mishtalech. Lashmo inon da'afa gab dinafisha kaparaso. Afilu hachi abnei karban lo mechaper. And I will say the Torah comes along and singles out the Seir Mishtalech to tell us that what? Even though the Lamemra, the Al Chatom dinnei karban inhu lo mechaper. Even though the Seir Mishtalech has such incredible power, right? I will say, that seer that is pushed off the cliff has incredible tshuva power, right? Incredible atonement power. Nevertheless, its atonement power stops at what? At what? At averos which have defined karbanic liability. So I'm going to say, if you go into Yom Kippur and you are chayiv a karban, the seer mishtalech cannot help you. For that what? After Yom Kippur, you will still have to bring that particular karban. How do you know that the psham that we're referencing over here are pshaim ultimately again for which there is no karbanic liability? Maybe the psham that are being referenced over here are psham which have karbanic liability. Listen to this. You say to yourself, that's what craziness. Crazy talk. Right? Where do you have pshaim? A pesha is an intentional avera. Where do you ever find a pesha, an intentional avera, which is subject to a karban? Funny, you should ask. Okay, this nan arba'a mevin ala zadon kishkaga. Rabbi said there are four cases, four situations where halacha lemaisa you will bring a carbon for intentional violation as if you did it unintentionally. So Rabbi say so itmar ifmar nami ki aser rabin am Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi say therefore again the whole drasha was predicated on the idea that pesha represents an infraction for which there is no karbanic liability. And therefore the pasuk which equates chatoim to pshaim is telling me that what type of chet is Yom Kippur mechaper for? A chet where there is no defined karbanic liability, like asham talui. But if you have defined karbanic liability, Yom Kippur is not mechaper, you have to bring your karban. Now the Gemara says, one second. Pesha, there are pshaim, there are intentional violations where there is defined karbanic liability. It's my name, Kiyasa Rabin, I'm Rabbi Yossi, I'm Reish Lakish. Again, chaton dumi de pshoim. Both say the pasuk is teaching me that it is a chet that is similar to a pesha. Ma pshoim dla b'nei karban mechaper, just like a pesha which has no karbanic liability on kippur is mechaper. Av chatoim dla b'nei karban mechaper. So too, Yom Kippur is what? Yom Kippur is mechaper for what? For chatoim which do not have defined karbanic liability, like asham talui. Aval chatoim de b'nei karban lo mechaper. But I will say, if you have karbanic liability on your shoulders, ultimately, again, Yom Kippur is not mechaper for that Amr Abaye said, Ano nami mihaden kra amri, v'akshi ravdimi minay dehani pshad blad b'nei karbaninu, dilma hanach de b'nei karbaninu. But one second, I had the same drasha, but again, you're assuming pshay means intentional averus which have no karbanic liability. But what about the fact that there are some pshayim that carry with them karbanic liability? Kidisnan, arba'a mevidin ala zado kishgaga. Amali Rabin, you're right, but rov pshayim lav b'nei karban. It's true, fine, shkoyach. You have four intentional averos out of the wide world of averos that carry with them karbanic liability. When the Torah says pesha, we assume that what? Pesha means what? The majority of pshayim. And the overwhelming majority of pshayim are pshayim that do not have karbanic liability. Amalei rov ksiv, does the pasuk say that Yom Kippur is mechaper for rov pshayim? El Amar Abaye, Mereisha Dikra. Learn it out from the beginning of the pasuk. What does the beginning of the pasuk say? This vada love. It's called Avonos B'nei Yisrael. The pasuk says he will confess, for referring to the Kohen. He will confess upon the Seir. He will confess upon the Seir. Right? The Avonos of B'nei Yisrael. B'tanya, Avonos Ilus Donos. Avonos also refers to intentional Averos. V'chinu Omer Avona Ba. V'es Kol B'Shem V'Cholchat Osam. L'Amali. To compare chatam to pshayim, ma pshayim de la b'nei karbon, just like pshayim are not subject to karbon, af chatam de la b'nei karbon. So to the chait, the type of chatam that Yom Kippur is mechaper for, are the type of chatam that are not subject to karbonos. Aval chatoim de b'nei karboninu lo mechaper. But I both say the type of chait which are subject to definitive karbonic liability, ultimately again, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. And I both say this is the bottom line conclusion of the Gemara, that Yom Kippur will be mechaper ultimately again for Asham Talui, because that's called Chait, right? That's called ultimately, Yom Kippur is Mechaper for any type of infraction which does not have a defined karbanic liability attached to it. Even if it has an Asham Talui, Yom Kippur wipes that out. What doesn't Yom Kippur wipe out? A pre-existing defined karbanic liability. If you go into Yom Kippur, ultimately, again, with karbanic obligation on your shoulders, Yom Kippur does not wipe that. Rabbi said, I just want to point out an incredible, profound novelty. So understand what we just learned? Yom Kippur wipes out Avonos and Pshayim. Avonos and Pshayim. So just to understand, so the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva defines what's an Avon and what's a Pesha. An Avon is an intentional Avera. Pesha is an intentional Avera, Kavana Limrod Bo, with Kavana to rebel against Hashem. In other words, we both say, there are different ways to do it. This is not halacha l'maisa, right? But again, there are different ways to do a kavana, an avera b'mezid, right? I could do b'mezid like, I love chazer. I know it's chazer. I don't care. I love it. God, I love you too, but in this moment, I love chazer more, right? In this moment, but I love you a lot. I'm not rebelling against it. I just love chazer. That's one type of mezid. That's an avon. Pesha is, God, you're not my boss. You're not in charge of me. Right? I'm my own man. So I have a kavana to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom Kippur is mechaper for Avonos, is mechaper for Pshoim, is mechaper for Hashem Talui. So isn't it amazing that yet, I will say, if I go into Yom Kippur and I accidentally ate a piece of chalev, right? And it was an accident. I'm chayv v'chatas. Okay, no sabik. I know I ate chalev. I'm chayv v'chatas. Yom Kippur doesn't wipe that out. Right? Yom Kippur will wipe out my rebellious Averos. Yom Kippur will wipe out my intentional Averos, but Yom Kippur doesn't wipe out a pre-existing karbanic obligation. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because at the end of the day, no one can take care of your obligations but you. If you walk into Yom Kippur and there is an obligation on your shoulders, you must make good on your obligations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I could clean up your soul. I could help with that. I could clean up your soul. But if you have responsibilities that are yours, no one else could discharge your responsibilities except you. God says, you can't put that on me. I have my own responsibilities. I gave you your soul. I gave you life. I could take some responsibility for cleaning up the mess in your soul. I'll take care of your chatoim. I'll take care of your avonos, your pshayim. But if you walk in with an obligation on your shoulders, that's yours. Don't try to shift that off to someone else. You must own your own obligations. And I both say, one incredible mussar for life. Because the truth is, we all have obligations. We have obligations as husbands, Baruch Hashem. We have obligations as fathers. We have obligations as Jews. And a lot of times, we try to shirk those obligations and shift them onto someone else. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can help with a lot of stuff. But your obligations are your obligations. Don't deflect. Don't defer. Don't try to put them on someone else. I can help you with a lot of stuff. But the stuff that's your responsibility, the things that are your pre-existing obligations, you and only you are responsible for them. You and only you can manage them. You and only you bear the ultimate responsibility for them. Shabbat shalom.